Indeed.com.
I want to start out this morning with a question, but I don't want you to raise your hands to answer this one. This is just a question to ponder. How many of you would change something about yourself, your physical body, if you could? How many would change a whole lot of things about your physical body if you could? Most of the time, probably all of us would answer yes to that one. We all have some level of discontent with the body that we have. We're too fat. We're too skinny. We have a body part that is too big, a body part that is too small. Right? If we have brown eyes, we want blue eyes. If we have blue eyes, we want hazel eyes. If we're too tall, we want to be shorter. If we're too short, we want to be taller. Right? It's interesting that even though we live in a time in our society and in our world where the idea of body shaming others is completely unacceptable, it doesn't change how we often feel about ourselves. I would guess that the most confident person in the room this morning, even though they love Jesus, even though they're grounded and rooted in the love that God has for them, still wrestle with some aspect of their physical appearance. So if that's you this morning, if that's ever been you, I think this morning will be a real encouragement to us as we kind of consider where we're going this morning. We've been in the series called All Things New, a series about heaven. And just by way of recap, we began with the reality that, well, heaven is real. That Jesus taught that there is a good place, there is a bad place, that the hinge pin of it, that the determining factor of where we spend our eternity, it all hinges on whether we put our faith and trust in Him. So heaven is real. And there is a heaven right now that is aware of what's happening in the world. There's a heaven right now that is cheering us on in our faith. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who are watching us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. But heaven, as it is right now, is not the way it always is going to be. God's going to change it. God's going to transform it. He says, "Behold, I am making all things new." There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem or city. And that doesn't mean he's going to take it all away, wipe it out, and start over. He's going to take his creation and transform it. He's not interested in making all new things. He's looking to make all things new. So he's going to take his creation and transform it. And where that begins, the starting point for that, is with us. Right? It's about the resurrection. We get a new body. So many Christians believe in the resurrection, but oftentimes a spiritualized view of what the resurrection is. One survey found that nearly two-thirds of people who say they believe in the resurrection also believe they won't have a physical body after the resurrection. Okay, they think they're going to be some kind of disembodied spirit floating around in this non-material heaven. And it's not that they are rejecting the doctrine or the belief in the resurrection itself, but whether they realize it or not, what they're rejecting is the true essence of what resurrection is. See, a non-physical resurrection would be like a sunrise where there was no sun. I'm not talking about, oh, sunrise on a cloudy day. I'm talking about a sunrise with no sun that exists. That's what a non-physical resurrection would be. The nature of resurrection means we get new bodies, right? We didn't get a new body, we wouldn't be resurrected in the first place. Now, this isn't brand new thinking in our day and age. This has gone back since the early church and even before. The Greek philosopher Plato, he had this teaching that all material things were bad and evil and wicked, where all non-material things were good or, you know, worth pursuing. These philosophies took root in the culture and also kind of infiltrated or permeated its way into the early church. Many embrace the idea that the earth and our bodies themselves, physical things, were sinful and bad, even though God was the one who created them. And they believe that only the spiritual things, our soul or our spirit in heaven, and the spiritual realm, the angelic realm, those were the things that were good. But that meant you then had to reject the idea that Jesus had an actual physical body when he rose from the dead. Now, Paul, he adamantly argued against that notion. And we're going to be taking a look at what he has to say about it today pretty extensively. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're following along in the Bibles here, it's page 961. I would encourage you, this is a good pause break if you need to run back and grab a Bible, or we'll volunteer Adam, since he's getting picked on today, to grab you one. Just stick your hand up and he'll walk around with a pile. You're going to want to follow along. There's a lot of text here, and we don't have this all up on the screen because you would get dizzy trying to follow it flashing before your eyes. So we're going with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to work through this chapter in bits and pieces here, and we'll skip some things, just not because they're not important, but just to kind of keep things focused. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. All right, so Paul puts the resurrection of Jesus in the list of things that is of critical or first priority here. This passage, which is in essence the gospel in a nutshell, says that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day. The resurrection is a key aspect of that. And not only did he rise from the dead, but it says that he appeared to so many different people so that we would know that he actually did what he said he was going to do. He actually did rise from the dead. There were literally hundreds of people who could verify that this was an event that actually took place. Right? So the resurrection, pretty central to our faith. We're going to skip ahead to verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So could Paul make it any clearer that this resurrection is legit? I mean, he's a little subtle in that section about it, mentions it like 25 times in a few verses, right? But he's going, yeah, this happened, and it's crucial to our faith. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Excuse me. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now Paul, he kind of gives us an order here of what we can expect. He says Jesus was raised from the dead. We go next. Then comes the end of all things, when death is finally destroyed. So yes, God is going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem or a city. But before any of that takes place, we get raised to life. We get a new body. So Paul anticipates a little bit later some of the questions people are going to ask. We're going to jump down to verse 35. And he says, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven." Paul is saying, look, we're going to receive a spiritual body. Now, that doesn't mean the body we get is going to be comprised of spirit, right? He's not saying it that way. He's saying we get a body that's flesh and bone, but it's spiritual in nature. So instead of being a perishable one or a dishonorable one or weak or natural, it's going to be a spiritual body, one that is imperishable, that is sown in glory and power. So he contrasts the two. And then he puts this exclamation on it in verse 49. He says, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Right? Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And here's what he's saying. The body we're going to get will be like Jesus. It will bear his image. Okay? Jesus, and this is kind of the key starting point for all of this text that we just kind of worked through. Jesus' resurrection is a model for ours. Jesus' resurrection is the model for ours. So our resurrected body will be like his. And this is not the only place in Scripture that says this. Philippians 3:21 says, "Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious one." And 1 John 3:2, it says that when Jesus appears, we will be or become like him. Right? We are going to have a body that is much like Jesus. His resurrection is the model for ours. Now, we do get a glimpse of what Jesus' resurrected body was like in the Scriptures after his death and resurrection. We'll look at one passage that kind of illustrates this. You don't have to turn there. This should be on the screens. Luke 24. It says, talking about the disciples, "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. All right, so if Jesus' resurrection is a model for ours, there's a few things we see, starting with what we see in this passage. Our new body will be physical in nature. Right? Our new body will be physical in nature. Jesus was more than just spirit. He wasn't a ghost. In fact, he said that himself. But he demonstrated it. He had a body. Listen to the things that he did in this passage. He stood among them. His body stood there. And he spoke to them with his mouth. He said, see my hands, see my feet, touch me and see. They could touch him. And he said, I have flesh and bones as you have. This is Jesus' resurrected body. And then, as if to just prove everything all in one action, he took and ate fish before them. All right? His body was physical in nature. Ours will be too. So our new body will be physical in nature. The second thing is this, that our new body will be familiar and recognizable. Okay? Our new body will be familiar and recognizable. Now, I want to go back to some things that we mentioned last week. We said God is going to make all things new. He's not going to make all new things. He's not going to start over. He's going to recreate. But the new thing that he makes is going to be much like the old thing. There's a principle that they're going to be much the same. It's going to resemble what he originally made it to be. So when he says we're going to get a new body, we know what a body is like, right? Arms, legs, eyes, nose, mouth, heart, lungs, our minds, our brains. If it didn't have those things, it wouldn't be a body. At least it wouldn't be like the one that God designed for us to have. So we can expect that the new body that we get is going to be like the old body. Right? It's going to resemble that. And Paul says that the body that we have now is like the seed for the body we're going to get from God. To a certain extent, our body will be much like the one you have now. Right, you will still be you. And it's likely that you will still look like you. Okay? Just like in the scriptures we see when a prophet reappears in the Old Testament, they recognize who he is. Right? When Jesus tells this story of the rich man and Abraham and Lazarus, they knew who each other were. They could recognize each other. They could see that. When Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus at his transfiguration, the disciples knew who they were. Now, I don't know how they knew who they were, because it's not like they have pictures of Moses or Elijah floating around, you know, hundreds of years later. There were no cameras, that sort of thing. They wouldn't look it up on their iPhone. But they knew. They could see that this is who these people were. Right? There's something to the fact that we're going to be able to recognize each other. So it's likely you will still look very much like you. If we think about what Scripture says when we come to faith in Christ, it says we are a new creation. We become a new creation. Right? But the next time you show up for dinner with your parents right after you came to Christ, they didn't be like, who is this person? I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are. Now, you might act different, but they could see this was you. Your dog still recognized you when you came in the driveway. Your friends didn't confuse you with one of their other friends, right? So you are still very much you. It stands to reason that it's going to be the same when we get our new bodies. Okay? When you ever bump into one of the people that you know from like grade school and you see them and you're like, oh my gosh, you look exactly the same. I think it'll be something like that. You know, wow, you look just like you did back then. It's the same idea. You will still probably recognize yourself when you look in the mirror, when you get your new body. Because God makes the new thing that is very much like the old thing. The new body you get is going to be like the one that you have now. However, the new thing is far better than the old thing. Right? The new thing is going to be far better than the old thing. And that's the third idea here, is that our new body will be, first of all, immortal. Right? Our new body will be immortal. Meaning, it's going to live forever. It's never going to die. It's never going to decay. And Paul gets to that in verse 50. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the last trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. He's talking about the reality that there are some who will be alive in the moment when this resurrection takes place and when Jesus comes. But he says this, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Our new body will be immortal. Our current bodies are not capable of lasting in eternity. But we're going to get one that is appropriate for that. It won't wear out. It won't decay. It won't break down. It won't die. It won't be able to be destroyed. Right? We'll be able to withstand the afterlife. Our new bodies will be immortal. And here's the fourth thing about our new body. Our new body will be perfect for us. Right? Our new body will be perfect for us. Even to say something like, we're going to get a perfect body. I got to be honest with you, that just feels wrong to me. Like, it just doesn't feel like that would be possible. Because we are so used to a body that's less than perfect. It's so hard to even begin to imagine what that's going to be like in many ways. It feels wrong to say it. But that's exactly what's going to happen. The body God gives us will be real, physical, genuinely human body, like the one we have while we're on earth, but our body will be perfect and glorified. I don't think that means every guy is going to have like the physique of an Olympic gymnast, or every woman is going to have supermodel bodies or something like that. I don't think there's going to be a one-size-fits-all cookie cutter type of body that God's going to give us. If the God who created all things in his power and in his wisdom and in his goodness, he made you as you are, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He made you with your particular personality traits, your likes, your dislikes, your preferences, and he made you with your particular looks and physical features. Do you think he's interested in throwing that all away? Of course not. You are his creation. He loves you. He made you as you are for a reason. He's not interested in making an all-new thing. He's making all things new. He's not starting over from scratch. You will still be you. But your body will not be diminished by the curse or the effects of sin. I mean, what were the words of Paul that he used to describe it earlier? You're going to be sown in glory and power. You're going to get a spiritual body. Randy Alcorn, who's a pastor or a teacher and an author, wrote the book called Heaven. It's been a really helpful for this series because it's like a theology course crammed into a book. It's pretty awesome, but pretty in-depth. But one of the things he said that I thought was significant, he said, our resurrected bodies will continue to be the functional bodies that God designed for us from the beginning. At the same time, they will be glorious in ways that our current bodies are not. In other words, we all get serious upgrades, right? So our new body will be physical in nature. Our new body will be immortal. Our new body will be familiar and recognizable. and our new body will be perfect for us. To close things out this morning, as we think about this, Jesus being the model for our own resurrection and those four ideas, you know, throughout the series, I thought it is great to get an understanding and to learn more about what heaven is going to be like for us. And that's what a lot of this has been. But I don't want it just to be information and knowledge that we go, oh, that's good. Someday we'll get to experience that. But to ask the question, what does it mean for us today? How does this affect us in the here and now? And so as I close, I want to go back to that original question, right? Where it's how many of us would change something about our physical appearance, our physical bodies, if we could? Because I think everyone deals with some kind of insecurity or dislike for the bodies that we have, or at least certain aspects of them. There are some who even feel extremely out of place. There are some who feel like their body, it doesn't fit who they are. There are some who struggle with their sexuality, their gender identity. They feel trapped in a body that doesn't line up with who they feel they are on the inside. And can I just say this about every extreme circumstance like that and the ones that we're wrestling with? Believe it or not, Jesus is a God who can relate to this. If you think to all of it, if you think about it, Jesus was the God of the universe. And yet he was confined to a human body. So he knows a little something about what it feels to be out of harmony, right? That body did not fit his nature. So he understands. He knows what it's like not to feel comfortable in his own skin. But the good news is, when God gives us new bodies in the resurrection, we will finally be comfortable in our own skin. We will all finally be comfortable in our own skin. Whatever body God gives us, whatever it looks like, we're going to be more than thrilled with it. We aren't going to look in the mirror and wish that we had a different nose or straighter teeth or more hair in the right places. Right? We won't be living with insecurity about our body shape. We won't be worried about the way we look. We won't be living off other people's compliments or praise for how we look. We won't be self-conscious about our deficiencies. That won't be an issue for us. Our looks won't bother us one bit, and we won't spend time worrying about our appearance so we can impress others. Because who we are and our body, they'll be brought into harmony. Our body will be perfect for us, right? We'll be comfortable in our own skin. We won't have to struggle with the feeling of failure because it's hard to stick to that diet. Those who have physical limitations, maybe legs that don't function, lungs that don't work, mind that isn't right, maybe even body parts that are no longer part of their body, that will not be an issue anymore. All the messing around with contacts and glasses and braces and hearing aids and crutches and insulin needles and CPAP machines, right? None of that will be necessary because we get a body that is better than before. The new body God will give us will be perfect for us, and we will be comfortable in that skin no matter what we actually look like. God is going to be pleased with that body because it's what he's given us, but we will be thrilled with it too. As we were thinking how to kind of wrap things up this morning, there was this back and forth that Bob and I had with this list of songs and worship things, and like, how do you capture the essence of like body issues in a worship song? And we had some different ideas. Bob had some good ones. I had some bad ones. But as we thought about this, as Bob suggested, and he gave all credit to the Holy Spirit, but you know, this song that we sang earlier, this song Glory to Glory, that was a song that really stood out to us. All I know, these are the lyrics to this song, all I know is there's nothing that you miss. If it's not beautiful yet, it's going to be. Right? We have that hope. All that he starts in us, he's going to complete. He will take us from where we are now, and he's going to turn us into something glorious, something perfect, from glory to glory. Let's pray, and we're going to close with that song in worship. Father God, I cannot speak to what particular issues each individual here may be struggling with. Whether it's a longing for something different when it comes to our own physical bodies, whether it's a longing for something to just be fixed, for something to work right again, to look different, to feel different. But you know the wrestling that is going on inside of us as we think about that. This morning, we simply want to surrender that to you and trust that everything that we go through now, we know that one day you're gonna restore it. You're going to make it all new. It's all going to be amazing. Help us not to sink in insecurity, because you are the one who created us and you love your creation. You love us. Help us to embrace that love, to be confident in who you've made us to be, but to also look forward to that day where we're going to be comfortable in our own skin, where we're going to understand and know and experience this new body that you have for us. One that will be perfect. And it will never wear out. It will never fade. It will never be destroyed. We look forward to that day and we cling to that hope. In the name of Christ we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.